You're listening to It's Casual with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
What's going on, all massive, all people? This is Case, Germ, Mikey. We got in the studio with us, Patch. This is It's Casual, where we casually talk about the Manchester United Football Club and what else comes to mind. It's but this is purely Manchester United based.
It's not going to be casual, though, is it? We're going to get emotional.
Yeah, we're going to get emotional today. Oh, so, I'm going to get fired up. Let's go to Mikey in Atlanta, GA. Home of Georgia Tech, one of the greatest colleges in the... Mikey, how you doing, my brother?
Shout out to all those Stanford guys out there.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? USC is dead.
And another note, Jeremy. He's in the studio getting straight from me. Jeremy, what's going on? Hey, Mikey, that was a horrible, horrible introduction you
good
did.
Good to be back. Good to be back, man.
Good to be back. Going. Joining us is my boy Patch, a.k.a. Hollywood, fresh off his tour of Everton, Newcastle, and Turkey. You saw that Garnacho over the head wonder goal.
I did.
Did you want to tell us how that felt?
I mean, we were barely in the stands 2-3 minutes, and it happened, and it was on the opposite side of the pitch, so we weren't even sure it went in, and then everyone else started going mental, and we were like, I think that just fucking went in.
It just went in.
And then it was just limbs everywhere.
Patch, you've been, you know, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but you've seen the mood, the environment for the club. How is it out there?
I mean,
well, in that time, it was a good time, though, wasn't it?
It was a good time. I mean, we on our trip, we won one, we lost one, we drew one. And obviously, the draw was the Galatasaray Champions League game. And then we lost to Newcastle a couple days later. But so it was brief elation. But I mean, it seems to be similar. It's, you know, we're in a pickle. And we don't have the players we need ultimately, and because through injury or, as we like to say, residual fuckery is ultimately what it is.
Patch came up with that term, by the way. I think he should trademark it, residual fuckery.
We'll make a shirt. It'll just be Woodward's face, and it'll just say residual fuckery underneath it.
Yeah.
Now we got two shirts to make.
Yeah, yep. Two shirts. Oh, yeah, coaches. I talk to coaches and residual fuckery.
Yeah.
So here we are. Fresh off the City match, the noisy neighbors.
Nazi neighbors.
Wow. There's a lot of highs and lows. Well, you know, we jumped out to a good lead. You know, I know at halftime I was very, you know, very joyous. Mm-hmm. The wonder goal from Rashford. I could tell you the mood where I was at. It was a good mood. People were excited. There was hope.
What? Perhaps foolishly, there was a possibility we could nick it.
Nick it by getting another goal or just finish one?
Defend just really well the rest of the game. But, you know, that may work with other teams, but with, you know, the likes of City, Liverpool, Arsenal, who are just going to keep coming at you, can't keep clearing the ball. You got to hold the ball, and that was just something we couldn't do. And you know, to be fair, we had some other chances. Rashford could have had a hat trick, but it just wasn't on. You know, this season's been a season of what ifs, and you wonder, what if we had a fit Luke Shaw, Butcher, and Hoyland? You got to figure Hoyland would have put at least one of those away.
Yeah.
So, you know, but our mate over in Manchester said City didn't even get out of second gear.
I mean, to me, Mike, I don't know how you felt. It seemed like they were on cruise control. Even after we scored, they didn't look bothered. I think it was a situation in their mind where Pep was like, just keep moving the ball. Lactic acid is going to kick in, someone's going to get tired and a mistake's going to come. I don't know, Mikey, how did you feel? What did you take from the match in the first half? Going into the halftime, how did you feel?
Going into the half, I felt that we would concede because it was only a match. We scraped by going into the half. It was just like, it's a matter of time before we break down. And City's a team. Yes, they didn't leave second gear. They didn't get into second gear even. They just poke and prod until they, you know, get to where they want to get to, Pause. But, you know, they it just looked like it was on the cards. Now, I didn't see us losing 3-1, that's for sure. But it didn't. All it took was a man to go. Well, the first goal, I'll say, that was a great strike. Two keepers aren't saving that. So, you know, whatever. But after that, it was just errors on our end. Casemiro doesn't pick up his runner. And Amrabat, who needs to get the fuck back to Italy, passes it right to, you know, this misplaces the ball. Instead of putting it out, he misplaces it. And bam, the Nordic meat shield scores again. So
I forgot how I felt about Amrabat yeah. after that game.
Hey, Casey, you said something, a key word, hope. That's the one of the biggest killers in sports, right? When you have some hope that your team might win. And once you see that downfall, how much it hurts. Yeah, because after that 1-0 during halftime, you couldn't ask for a better start, right? But after that, you see the quality just show of Man City. They stay composed. They stay within their framework of the way their team is, right? They have a system, and they trust in that system that's been beaten in by Guardiola, right? And with our squad, it's like you have plan A. Plan A doesn't work. There's no plan B. That's just how it is.
Ronaldo, shout out to Ronaldo. He says, no, they were very stressed that they were down for so long. They equalized and they equalized their nerves. I don't think they were stressed.
I feel like they looked a little frustrated.
That we were
defending so well. I mean, Varane and Evans put in a dynamite performance, and then it all went pear-shaped when Evans came off.
Which is mad if you think about it.
Well, you have two as veteran. Both of them have Champions Leagues.
Yeah, they're solid.
Both of them have loads of honors and a decorated career. You know, both of those guys read the game really well. It's just a question of, you know, if they were 10 years younger, you know what I mean? Then, you know, who knows? I mean, Evans would have played the full 90. And, you know, but that's how you learn how to read the game is just being in so many. I mean, that was a high stakes match. And how many high stakes matches has Evans and Varane been in?
They've been in a lot.
They know how to keep calm and keep composed. They never look rattled. And I was like, you know, the way we were defending, I was like, we might fucking pull this off.
I thought Dalot was amazing.
Dalot was amazing. Varane, shout out to him, the way he was able to contain, you can say to a certain point, Haaland, right? He was able to just keep him contained.
I mean,
that speaks to your point, his veteranism that he has, the know-how of where to be. And even that, I mean, that yellow he had to get, he gets a little physical with him. He has to do it.
Yeah.
He does the right things to keep him contained.
Yeah, I mean, both of those guys were great. I mean, and like I said, it's been a season of what ifs. So, you know.
Yeah, especially with the injury situation.
What if we had had Luke Shaw? What if we had had Martinez? Might have been a little different because the Varane Evans partnership clearly works.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, Martinez is going to give you, he's got more legs and he's going to be, you know, more physical. He's going to be able to play out from the back. He's going to be able to carry the ball a little bit better than Evans or Varane. I mean, I feel like missing Martinez, missing Shaw, missing Hoyland. If we had had those three, who knows? We might have been singing a different tune.
Yeah, I think just Hoyland, because you know our attack was so basic. Our attack was toothless. You know, we didn't really have control of the game at any point. I mean,
what was it, 68% possession to our 32 or something like
that? No, it was 72.
73,
it was 72. 72. And
all I know is they had more shots than we had possession. Like, they had like 27 shots.
27 shots to our three, and we had none in the second half.
But we they had 27%, or sorry, they had 27 shots, and we had like 23% possession. Yeah, so they had more.
I don't know how you felt, Mikey, but to me, all of our problems in that match, especially towards the second half, it was just bam. You know, we don't have control. We don't have depth. It was just they had options. We don't have a plan B. They have a plan B and a C because they, you see, Foden took over. He took over. Foden took over.
Yeah.
They didn't even need what's his name?
Haaland
to have a good game.
Yorkshire.
I don't know, Mike. I don't know what you thought about that, but it was a tough one. I don't know why I was so down about it.
Well, I think we all kind of half expected to lose. I think it was going to be really, really tough. I mean, yes, you don't, but the difference in quality, you know, you could drive a fucking oil tanker through.
Yeah, we're far off.
You know what I mean?
100% chance of winning coming into this game.
Yeah,
but
it was rightfully so that we had a 7% chance. Fuck the injuries. Sorry to curse. Forget the injuries. Man for man, we're not good enough. And I've been saying this for weeks. It don't matter what formation you play, who's out there. Martinez could have been back. Luke Shaw could have been back. These guys aren't good enough. They're not good enough to compete against City. We won't be good enough to compete against Arsenal. We won't be good enough to compete against. We need major changes from these guys that have been here for too long and living off winning at PSG, beating Juventus, beating Chelsea, beating all these other guys and making five finals or four semifinals, yeah. Losing a final.
They're a well-seasoned team.
They're living off of these things, and these guys have to go, man. That's just what it is. I've been saying it a long time. We set up in a Christmas tree formation. We literally did a 4-3-2-1, okay? And our top guy heads the ball down like a idiot and can't has an elephant touch when we need it. He scores a wonder goal there. I'm happy for it. I'm glad he scored it. He needed after he said the crap he said and redeemed himself a little bit. But Garnacho, on the other hand, nowhere.
He was
nowhere
quiet.
To be found.
He was quiet.
But he's also, what, 19?
No, he's 20.
I think it was a lot to do also with the fact
that
it seemed like the team was doing a conscientious effort to feed Rashford the ball a lot more, right? Especially when Bruno held it up.
Yeah.
I saw a few times that Garnacho was open either on the left flank or on the right, but Bruno went to Rashford. And on one of those times to the left, it looked like Garnacho was a little bit frustrated because he was wide open. He had a full, you know, field of grass for him to just roam around. So I see that the squad was really honing on giving Rashford the ball. And credit to him, he put that goal away. But after that, it wasn't really like he was showing you a performance, right?
He didn't show me some veteran shit.
Yeah,
for example,
it wasn't that. Yeah,
when that one when he had the breakaway, and then Walker was chasing him. Where's the? And I know now it's been critiqued and talked about, but the veteran savvy. Don't just let Walker have a clear path. Go in front of him so he has to foul you.
Yeah, yeah. Because that could have been a straight red.
That could have been a straight red right there. And it's just that was disappointing. I think that's the only. I don't know. There were some other chances we had.
Was another one where Rashford had it. He was on the right, and he just completely whiffed it.
Yeah, yeah,
and fell over.
Yeah. Oh yes, that one. Oh yeah.
That shot was a tight angle, though.
It was a shot like that. He would have blasted that, though. I mean, that could have gone anywhere.
He could have just got the touch and just
yeah.
Just keep that possession.
But that's to your point earlier, that's been a large chunk of our season is we just make goofy passes, goofy mistakes, goofy errors. The wrong passes wait a touch or two too long before we feed someone. There was an opportunity there where I think we could have fed Garnacho on the left, just cross it in front of the defender, and it was a shot on goal, and we dicked around with it and waited a second too long and the chance was gone. And you know, against a team like City, Liverpool, Arsenal, you're not getting many of those chances.
Right.
And again, it's been the story of our season. When we get those opportunities, we can't put them away.
Do you think, guys, that it could be that, well, I'm not, this is the situation I feel like, our mentality is, we don't think possession. We think quick attack, get them on a break. So mentality, our guys are like, oh, let's, as soon as you get the ball, kick it. You know what I'm saying? React quick. I really feel like if
we tried to keep the ball, we tried to keep the ball.
There was moments. There was moments in the first half when it seemed like they were getting some possession, trying to recycle the ball, keep it. You know, because I mean, we were defending for our lives for a moment, right?
Do you think, guys, after we scored, we checked it in too quick? Defense, we just went park the bus too quick.
Well, you parked the bus the entire game.
You're never gonna get away with parking the bus against a team like City.
No, you're not.
And Liverpool and Arsenal. So if that was the game plan, that's a bit goofy.
It just seemed like we packed it in to me, and that was the part I was like, we gotta come at these guys. We can't just sit back because our bench. I knew if it went to the bench game, we're done. We're done. So I was like, let's get as much goals as we can early.
Well, we have no one to come in off the bench to change the game.
Yeah, I know we were talking about that.
That goes to Mikey's point.
As much goals as we can early. We can't get goals. Cannot get goals.
I mean,
good teams.
That goes to your point, Mikey. Where's the quality, right? We don't have those type of players to compete.
We wanted to keep the ball.
I mean, Garnacho used to be the player we'd bring in off the bench because Rashford was on the left, and then now. Garnacho starting, and again, without Hoyland having to put Rashford as a center forward, which he's not, Garnacho on the left is fine, but I think we've kind of realized that he does pretty damn well on the right. A while ago, I wrote this season off because we have the likes of Ineos coming in, and we have a proper football heads coming in to sort this thing out. Let's just grin and bear the rest of the season, and in the summer hit the reset button with the proper people in place, with the recruiting, with the transfer window. We'll be able to get some dead wood out, mm-hmm. bring in some other players, deepen the bench a bit. We're out of financial fair play trouble, and Ratcliffe's got a nice little transfer kitty to give us. And then, you know, give Ten Hag the rest of his contract.
I honestly just wrote the season off now. This weekend. We're meaning top four. It's gone to me.
Well, it was gone for me at least when we lost to Fulham.
Yeah, that was really I think that's the game. You know, when you want to judge Ten Hag, I'm not going to judge him on losing to the cities, to the Arsenals, to the Liverpools. It's the Fulhams.
Yep.
That hurt.
The Brentfords hurt. The Nottingham Forest.
Right.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah, those hurt. Those are the matches that I think he's going to get judged on. And, you know, moving forward, I really have been a person, and I know Mikey and everybody's heard me, I've questioned Ten Hag's tactics. I know Mikey and Jeremy have always said, what else are you going to do? We don't have guys.
Right.
And it's so true to me now. I mean, I really believe this team. I feel bad for Erik Ten Hag at this moment. I really do. I feel like he's in a no-win situation, and especially what's going on in the current climate where here comes the leak business again. Here come this type of talk again. Now guys are complaining, allegedly, we're running too much. Yeah. You only play one time a week? What do you mean you run too much?
For me... In the trainings.
Yeah, so... you know, I've been saluting Mikey on this because he's always been saying, like, oh, well, you know, these guys are trash. And I think this week, right now, current Casey, I truly believe we have trash players. And not trash. I think we have a lot of youth that we're depending on. I don't want to call our youth trash. They're just not ready mentally and maybe not even physically to deal with this. Now, our veteran players, most of them are over the hill. Most of them are half injured. So it's a bad situation, and I think that what's going on right now, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but the narrative that's going on that Ineos has already selected a coach, I think they would do a bad decision to give up on Erik ten Hag.
I don't know, obviously, because I'm not behind the scenes, but I don't think – I would hope that that's not true, because you got to figure – and I was talking to my dad earlier on the way over here about that – essentially Ten Hag's been doing the job this season with one arm tied behind his back.
Yeah.
And even before this season too, given the whole Glazers and situation and, you know, not being, I don't give a fuck what anyone says. No manager has been backed properly by the Glazers. So
never.
Let's get rid of that fucking BS. Yes, one arm tied behind his back, especially with the injury situation. I mean, how many times there's been 23 different variations, some ridiculous number like that, of the back line that he's had to do due to the injuries. I mean, we keep losing every single one of our back line players has been injured at least once this season. So, you can't judge a man based on how he makes a cake if you don't give him all the ingredients to make it.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't judge a man's cake on how the quality. If I didn't have eggs to make the shit, I didn't have this, I didn't have that. That's what he's working with.
It's a vegan cake.
I need to say this.
Say it.
Get a load of Andre Onana. He's in the building. Yeah. He had the game of games. He let in three.
Yeah. That's where Ronaldo said we just were working counters. Onana was quarterbacking that.
Onana put in a ball that led to the goal, the first goal. Bruno held it up perfectly, and Rashford licked it in. So cool. But Andre Onana, he played at his maximum today. On the day. He played at his maximum. So that's one guy that should not hang his head.
Yeah.
And he shows what he can do when you send runners at a high line. Because they were playing on the halfway line the entire game. And when somebody wisened up to make a run towards it, he hit them almost every time. So I want to say we said hello, Andre Onana. Don't forget it, because he gets a lot of the bullshit, even though he's the most shot at goalkeeper outside of the one for Sheffield.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he put, I mean, shout out to him. Yeah, he did put in a good performance. You saw some of the reasons why they picked him up, right? He was just, like he said, quarterbacking, just slinging it out there, doing the right passes out there. Yeah, he was putting in a good performance, also stopping the ball. Yep.
Yeah, he had a rough
shots, catching shots, punching shots. He did what he was supposed to do. He wasn't the issue today, but when you get 27 shots put at you, and you get and three go in, that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel in your heart of hearts, honestly, that Ten Hag is going to make it?
Yes.
Do you think the noise is getting loud? I mean, now we have another. Paul Scholes came out and trashed
him. I don't think he's going to make it, but I would like for him to make it. It's just too much noise going on around about
it. Yeah, but he's not going to make it. You got to figure that Ratcliffe and all those guys see that, and they see through the shit. And they've been looking at the situation for a while. And, you know,
and they're hands-on. They're around.
Hands-on. Brailsford's been at every game, mm-hmm. I feel like. Sitting next to Ratcliffe, I've seen Ferguson and David Gill at loads of games since Ineos took over. But again, I feel like they would sympathize with the fact that Erik ten Hag has been absolutely crushed by injury. And we have no one because of residual fuckery. If we had a deep bench and we had more ingredients to mix into the stuff, then, you know, it'd be a different story. I would hope that they would see through that and let the man see out his contract.
And anybody's trying to call in, you could call us at 323-203-0815. Oh, shit, I didn't even mention the sponsors. Hey, this show's brought to you by Bowen Malukian LLP, one of the finest law firms in the state of California. They got a 5-star rating. I don't know who rates law firms, but they got the best rating. They have a 98% success rate. Like I said, they took care of my roommate who got banged in the behind in Vegas. Pause. He came up with good money. They handled personal injury, accidental death, wrongful firing, anything but murder. Just don't kill people. They don't want to handle that. Balloran and Malukian LLP in the beautiful city of Sherman Oaks. You can call them at 747-444-4444. Love Balloran Malukian for making the show happen. Okay, back to business.
I was just going to say, banged in the behind in Vegas.
You know, I do that for Mikey.
Okay.
Because this is a pause show. I get paused so much.
Hey, what type of friends are you hanging out with?
I go through life getting paused. Yeah. I don't know why I say things and everybody's like, pause. Even though Mikey said one of the most, I can't remember what he said last week, but he said something really reckless last week.
Going on to your point, Patch, I would really love for anyone else to take that into consideration that he has not had an actual.
I feel like they would.
Yeah.
They're not like stupid.
Like an actual boardroom that knows what they're doing in terms of football knowledge and how to assess a squad and know that he doesn't really have the players that he chose for his system. Mm-hmm. But he's more than anything having to use players from different coaches that they've chose for a different type of style of play, different type of tactics, and he's having just to like piece it all together.
Yeah, but don't you feel Ineos doesn't owe him anything?
Yes, I don't think they owe him anything, but I also think that, you know, the way Ratcliffe talks with reverence about the club, that he wants what's best for the club, and so if there is a chance that Ten Hag is what's best for the club, I think they will try to look. We've said this 100 times. We can say it till we're blue in the face. It took Klopp how many years? It took Arteta how many years? It took Sir Alex how many years before shit started clicking? Ten Hag's only been in the job a year and a half.
Yeah, but the thing, and I don't know if Mikey's speaking, the thing you guys are talking about are established regimes that were there, and they let those coaches stay in here. We're bringing in a brand-new regime. There's going to be new director of football, new recruiting, new this, and they could have in their mind, we're going to clean all this stuff out. They could say it like, you know, they could easily say Erik ten Hag is damaged goods. He's been through the mill from every team. Every coach has been through gets burned out, overworked. Tactics, they can't use them anymore. They've lost. Their players have let them down. And Erik ten Hag could be right now someone who they looked as damaged goods. They might want a young, fresh, lively face.
You got anything to add, Mike?
Yeah. Mikey?
Mikey?
I don't think he can hear us.
Your mic's off.
Oh, Mikey, we can't hear you. We can.
You turn off his mic?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Can't hear him.
I'm pretty sure Sam will work on it. You can't hear us at all, Mikey? Not at all? He can hear you, but we can't hear you. You can hear us, but we can't hear. That's crazy.
You can hear us.
See what's going on your end, Mikey. See if you turn your mic off or anything like that. Is that it? Jesus, I hope I didn't touch anything. We'll keep going to it.
Yeah.
But my point is, Ten Hag is not winning favors from the media. And let's not even talk about the media. We've had 3 ex-United legends come out. Keane, Gary, Scholes, come out and not back him. 2 of them actually come out and said, we feel like Ineos has already made a decision. He's not going to make it to the season. I heard a famous YouTuber say yesterday that he heard from a very credible source linked to the team, a very famous YouTuber. He said,
did he talk to coaches too?
I needed that laugh. I really did need that laugh. But he said that he heard Erik ten Hag, these next 3 games are going to decide his future. We have Everton,
Liverpool
twice?
Well,
no,
we have,
Liverpool
no, we
once.
Liverpool April 7th in the league, in the FA Cup. It's on next Sunday.
Okay, so he said the next 3 games are going to decide, not City, but the next 3. So we got Everton. I don't know. There's another garbage game. I shouldn't say garbage. I don't want to disrespect the Premier League. We're in no place to call anybody garbage.
That's the thing. If you're in the Premier League, you're not a garbage team.
You're not a garbage team.
Yeah, any team can beat any team, as
so,
we all know.
My point is, there's not too many people backing him and trying to elevate him. Mikey, let us know. Keep trying to talk and see if we can hear if you're coming through.
Next 3 matches is Everton, Sheffield, and Liverpool in the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Premier, it's Brentford. So Everton, okay. Sheffield, and Brentford.
I mean, those are all going to be tough.
Yeah.
And it all depends on also what players we have back.
Can you hear Mikey?
No.
Tell him we're going to take a break because I need to fix something.
Okay, we're going to take a little break from a little bit, Mikey. We got some bugs here. We're going to work it out. All right, we're back. We're back. Sorry, everybody. I plugged out something. I wasn't liking how it was going. So I'm a hater. We're back. So we're going to get back where we left off. It's just casual again, once again. We're going to talk about Ineos owing Erik ten Hag anything. I mean, well, basically we left off saying with Gary Neville, Scholesy, and Keno basically went against him. You could say the media is going against him. You have players. The one thing, the only people who are not against him in a weird, funky way, the players are saying that we're all playing for him. But then they came out and said that allegedly they don't like the training. And they did say that they heard that he was going to get fired at the end of the season. Anyway, that also came out of the player's mouth. So what I'm saying is Ineos is bringing in change. We all know that. They're going to bring in a new director, new all that. Do they have the right to move on from Erik ten Hag? We could take it off from there. Take it from there.
Do they have the right? Yeah, they.
Of course
the right.
They do. I'm right, yeah, yeah, yeah. But okay.
Will they? Is it more likely than not? I mean, I'd like to think no, because like I said, they would have taken a look at the situation and said, okay, you know, here's the circumstances. Now, if he was playing with a fully fit squad and we were still losing stupid games and the tactics and there was no sign of a playing style and, you know, all these other things, if that was still the case, then I would say he's probably going to be gone before the end of the season. But again, you know, speaking from Jim Ratcliffe's point of view, which I can't obviously, but he's no dummy. You don't amass a $20 billion plus fortune by being a dummy. So I think ultimately he is going to do what's best for the club, and, you know, he will assess at the end of the season. And, you know, you would think that he would take into account what's happened.
I mean, that's the... Oh, go ahead, Jeremy.
I was going to say, Mikey was going to say a point, but...
Go ahead, Mikey. Jump in there, Mikey. So. You didn't get to talk for a minute. Yeah. I loved it, too.
Yeah, the show went dead when I stopped talking. We lost all our viewers. No, listen. Real quick, though. Does he have a right? Should they? No, right? But let's talk about these pundits real quick.
Yeah, go on.
Keane has lost his credibility a long time ago.
Really?
When he was doing the whole, when he was tap dancing for Ollie, and, oh, Ollie should stay, and these players are going to get him sacked. What has changed between now and then? These are the same players, and he's not singing that tune. He's not saying that now. They're going after the coach that's not their buddy. Okay, so that's number one. They're not going to do that to Ollie because that's my buddy. So once they weren't going to be transparent with the guy that they played with for this club, I stopped listening to them when it comes to talking about outside of tactics or man-to-man management or whatever the case may be. So screw them. Now, to the question that you asked, do they have a right to... Yeah, they own the thing. They could do whatever the hell they want to do. But at the same time, it still remains true. These players are going to be the reason he gets sacked. They're going to see and they say, hey, these guys aren't reacting to you. And if these guys can't react to you, how can we expect you to coach at a higher level, right? That's what you do. You only go off your last performance. He's making his resume right now. And these players aren't giving a good account of themselves and aren't reflecting well on the coach. And... we'll get him sacked. So once again, it just goes down to these fucking players.
Mikey, sorry to jump in real quick. Speaking on that point, if Ratcliffe goes, okay, look, sorry, Eric, these players aren't playing for you. We're going to bring someone else in. Why would they think that these same players would play for someone else? You know what I'm saying? So even if they brought in Zidane or De Zerbi or whoever they're looking at, you know, why would these leopards change their spots? How or why would it be any different for them to sack Ten Hag and bring in someone else?
That's
and again, they're looking at the rinse and repeat. Yeah. Van Gaal, Ali, Mourinho, Moyes. Nothing has changed in 10 plus years of us sacking the manager because results aren't going our way.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably one of the biggest reasons that Ten Hag will be able to will be around next season is because Ratcliffe's like, and he even said it, we got to do something different.
Yeah.
What's the definition of insanity?
He said the environment's been poor.
The previous regime was easier to sack the coach than to get rid of all these players, right? It was too expensive to do that, to get the rid of these players. So I believe, like you said, Ineos should take that into account too. okay, we're just going to rinse and repeat, recycle the same thing that's been going on, the same players. I mean, this has been going on for years, right? Before, what was it? They can't press because during training, they're not training as hard. Now it's they're training too hard. Maybe you got to ease it off. So what is it? Either they train so little, or they train too hard, or they don't get that day, that extra day. Wasn't that on the article? They complained reportedly that they didn't get an extra day after that Luton game. So there's always little leaks here and there about, well, it's not going my way for this or for that because the coach is not doing this, or they're questioning. Who are they now to be able to question the coach, given the resume that the players have given out there on the pitch?
I've even heard a crazy narrative that Erik ten Hag might not want to come back because they've already stated that they want to control recruiting, the players' choices. I mean, if ten Hag says he wants a certain right back, they're like, okay, here are your choices. We're not going to just go on the one you're on. So they're saying that they want to take away a little bit of control and just only focus on coaching your style on the pitch. And speaking of that,
$400 million package for a lot of guys that we didn't get, that we only got fleeced for Anthony, 36-year-old Johnny Evans, Reguilon as a emergency sign-in. Everybody wanted Amrabat, me included. I'm in that group
too. I wanted him too. Yeah.
We
$400 million to spend. And we didn't get Kim Min-jae. We didn't get Harry Kane. We didn't get Todibo. We didn't get Gravenberch. We didn't get
all those players would be welcome right now.
None of these guys.
Yeah, we didn't get any of them.
Well, Gravenberch's having a rough start at Liverpool.
How is Cody Gakpo?
He's falling off.
Yeah,
he's decent.
I think those guys could help us.
He doesn't start, I don't think. I don't think he even starts for Liverpool.
Mark says that we saw signs of a playing style.
Than most of our players, so he's doing better than the guys that we have.
Right.
Read what Mark said for me. I can't read. Mark says we saw signs of a playing style last season. This season we've been able to implement playing style because half the players are capable of playing that style have already played this season due to injury. What's the play style, though? What's the style you're talking about, Mark? What's the style we play?
It's the same one they've been playing, park the bus and just counter.
Yeah, it's counter-transition. Is that what we are?
Well, that's what
possession
we're...
Press, that's possession what we're, press and progress the ball up the field is what he's been trying to do.
Yeah, but
we don't have the quality to do
exactly.
So. He started doing it at the end of the season last year.
That's why he made that comment. We're not going to play like it did at Ajax because what he saw, once he saw that he couldn't get these players to play in that type of system.
I think he was told to play that style because Erik ten Hag has said that I wasn't brought here to play my Ajax way.
Ajax way, yeah.
So all we know, the Glazers might have told him, or Murtagh, who knows nothing about football, might have told him there's a style they want to see, which is insane because I don't think they understand what they're talking about. But
how
what
can
if
say that then? If they're not football minds, how could they ever step and say that to him? They've never said it to any of the other coaches how we'd like to play.
They never
told Ollie to stop playing this way. This was Ollie. This
but
Ollie
Mourinho ball. And Ollie were playing that way already. So I don't know if they were. I don't know if they were telling Erik ten Hag, listen, these players are suited to play the Mourinho and Ollie way, and if you try to change it, it's going to be expensive. We're going to play this certain way.
Right. Well, that's because our squad.
Would you say, Mikey?
I don't think they said that. These are football minds.
But you would admit, though, the team, the Mourinho and Ollie was the same style, so it would be easy to tell your new coach, don't burn.
It wasn't the same style.
It wasn't the same style? We didn't?
Mourinho was more about the bus. Ollie was just.
Mourinho's whole philosophy is based on defense. We're a better defensive team.
And what was Ollie's whole thing?
Ollie
was counter-attacking.
Really? I thought it was, counter-attack is, counter-attack in my mind, I'm going to ask you coaches. The counter-attack is, I thought you take on their attack, and then you get the turnover and you break.
Yeah.
So you could defend.
So you're playing defensive.
Well, you're soaking up the pressure and hopes of a turnover, yeah, or trying to get them to lose the ball, and then you put a ball.
So to me,
over
that's not
top.
Progressive.
No, it's not progressive. It's,
Mark also wrote, we did not park the bus counter last season when we had our actual team fit last season. We generally dominated possession, shots, etc.
Yeah, No, that's the thing. Like, the difference in season from last season to this season is so vast because last season...
Fred!
I mean, look, Fred, you know...
This was a Fred game this season.
Fred...
Man. We were missed Fred.
Yeah.
Fred...
The energy.
And we haven't won against City without him.
Yeah. Fred, Fellaini, Herrera...
Fellaini,
dude. Fellaini was in Herrera some fuckery.
Yeah.
Fellaini got in your face. He would have been bullying the shit out of Haaland. You know what I mean? He came up clutch, you know, sometimes. A lot of time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but yeah, this is totally a Fred game. But yeah, the difference in last season and this season, we didn't have near as many injuries. And we got to get we had a rhythm going. And then this season, every time you
couldn't really pick up a rhythm because once you felt like you had something going on, a few injuries come in.
Look at Hoyland. Hoyland,
exactly.
Rough start, starts banging in goals, 6 goals on the trot, injured.
Yeah. There goes our point, man.
If that is not the perfect metaphor for our whole fucking season.
Yeah, this whole season
has been... I just got a message.
Say that again.
I got a message from my man Sean. He said I would have gotten rid of McTominay over Fred 100%.
100%.
But look what McTominay's come up with this season. He's been clutch.
Wow. Yep. Okay, let's talk about Fred being clutch.
Fred rarely went full Brazilian.
Yeah, but Fred got back into defensive shape.
Fred was a workhorse, and I respect the shit out of him for that because he always put in a shift.
I thought we should use McTominay like we used Woop last year.
We were joking at the pub that he was going to put McTominay as a number 9.
When I saw the lineup, I was like, this might be it.
Yeah.
Because I just saw Garnacho and Rashford up there. I was like, oh, this might be it. But then Bruno to the right.
Yeah.
But there was times where Bruno was almost like in that false 9 role, right, where he was the one catching the ball when Onana would throw it out. Just to hold it up, that's when he was giving it out to possession.
Well, that's what happened to set up Rashford's goal.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was. You're actually right. Ten Hag has to feel let down, though, from last season to this season.
Ten Hag has to what?
Feel just let down. The management, everybody let him down. Because he didn't get half the shit he wanted. Yeah. He didn't get really anything he wanted. Sylvain Amrabat.
He got Hoyland. He wanted Hoyland. He wanted Onana. He wanted Antony. But he didn't want Reguilon. He didn't want Amrabat. He didn't want he might have wanted Bayern.
Yeah, those were like backup choices.
Yeah. No,
he wanted Zion Suzuki first.
Yeah, he did. But he wanted to stay in his club because he knew he wasn't going to get playing time.
Smart man.
Zion Suzuki was like, I am not going there.
Yeah.
And there's rumors that Bayern wants out. You know, he wants to go back to Galatasaray.
He hasn't had a single kick.
He should.
Yeah, no, he did. Right. He had one game, I think. He played.
He had one game when Onana was out.
Yes. He had a game against at Newport.
Yeah. Wow, what a game!
Yes.
Yeah.
What a game!
The one game he had. Yeah,
he had a game. Was it Newport? He gave up a goal or two.
Yeah, he gave up two goals.
Oh my lord!
But they were bangers. Mm-hmm. To be fair, they were belting goals.
Yeah, he didn't play badly.
Yeah,
Ten Hag has definitely been in a no-win situation, and hopefully Ineos sees it like that.
They have to. They have to see it like that. They're not stupid. They're not blind. They're looking at the whole thing, and they're saying, this poor son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They should be able to decipher from amongst all the noise, like you were talking about earlier before we came back on, about these pundits, ex-players. I think it's just a bad look on how they're going one way and another when it was all like you mentioned because it was their boy, right? But now when it's not someone that's, you know, their boy, they're going to just hammer it in on him. So it's a bad look to me.
But it's a very bad look.
Did Keno, did Scholes, did Neville go in on Mourinho?
I can't remember. I don't think they liked him, though, because I don't see where they would like him.
No, they wanted him out.
Yeah, they wanted him out, too, because, you know, Fergie didn't like him. So
there you go.
So, I mean, so what are you going at, Patch?
What am I going at?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say it was some English stuff going on. they only want English coaches, but...
No.
The choices for...
if it's not a guy they like, they're just going to hammer it on them and just like...
I can't believe they even talk about... When they talk about these lists of coaches, it's the deadest group of...
It's foolish to even speculate because, you know, De Zerbi walked into... A
system
constructed system at Brighton.
Yeah,
Graham Potter is not the answer.
Oh, no, he's not.
Zidane walked into a constructed system at Real Madrid. Yeah. He had Ronaldo. He had Benzema. He had Casemiro. He had Cruz. He had Modric.
He had Isco. He had Casemiro when he was at his prime.
Yeah.
He had Isco. Just he had, ballers. You know what I mean? So you had some of the, literally, the best players in the world in your squad. Not to say that Zidane's not a good coach, but, you know.
What much of a tactics do you have to implement in a squad like
you
that?
You just got to keep people happy.
Exactly. You're just managing egos at that point.
You're managing egos.
Yeah. You got Ronaldo in your squad, for fuck's sake.
But they have to respect you coming in that locker room, too, though.
I mean,
you
can't. He has that respect. Sure. He has that cachet, right? Doesn't he have that gravitas because he also
looks like he's just perpetually pissed.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he could be, you know, in a Jason Statham.
What were you saying, Mikey?
Well, I mean, also, just to be devil's advocate, he brings a certain level of, like, yo, I want to play for Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But does he even want to coach?
He doesn't want to be in England. No, he's waiting for that.
I've done it on both ends. And when I was growing up, I was watching that guy. I think most people would want to play for him, at least, you know, people that watch the game. So I think he brings a little bit of celebrity to that position that would
prestige,
be exciting.
Yeah.
It would sell tickets. It would sell more tickets.
Mark says, the difference has been the insane amount of injuries. Yeah, we're going to – and the most important players. Yeah, we've lost our most important players. Simple as that for me. It's not the only factor, but it's by far the biggest.
10%.
I was about to go there. Thank you, Mikey. How much – this is going to be the last thing we talk about. How much – Mikey says that Ten Hag is only 10% to blame for what's going on.
10% to blame.
And then the players and management, that's the rest of it.
90% well,
to the
players.
No, I would say
– Well, it's tough to speculate.
I think the regime has something to do with it too.
Well, there's so much fuckery going on at the club right now. It almost feels like it's evenly spread out amongst what's happening.
I'm not mean to cut you off. Yeah. I think Ten Hag is the least amount of person I would blame in this tree of this pie chart.
Yeah, listen, is he faultless? No, of course not. Some of his tactics, substitutions, lineups have me scratching my head. So
that's why we had that show and we had some questions.
So true. I totally get that. Does he make interesting choices in game management? Is his in game management poor? That's up for debate as well. But you know, I think we just need to give the guy a fucking break.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately, clearly, it's not the manager's fault here.
No, because
if it was the manager's fault, we would have won loads of trophies under Mourinho. We would have probably won a couple. Well, I mean, we won a couple under Mourinho. We won a couple under Van Gaal.
Yeah.
We would have won more.
Yeah.
We probably would have won stuff with Ole.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? So I would say that, you know, 10% maybe a tad generous, but I think that's pretty bang on. I mean, I think ultimately it's the players. And look, the quality of the facility is no secret that it's absolute shit. Ronaldo came out and said it. So imagine, you know, trying to get better at what you're trying to get better at, but the tools that you're working with are just broken down and you know, you're cutting your feet on the tiles of the pool and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So again, circling back, Ten Hag, I think, is the least to blame.
We got the time coming up. Mikey, any closing words? I didn't mean to cut you off, brother. We're going to get Jeremy some closing words, too.
Man, this guy's had to deal with multiple allegations of assault for two different players. One player going out having drinks. Another one doesn't want to play for him, coming out on social media. The biggest player in the world wants to leave. Not getting your target signings. Not getting who you asked for in the beginning. Loads of injuries. A manager takeover. All in a span of 22 months? Come on now. 10%.
Nice. I just want to give a shout-out right here. Mark said he wants to give a shout-out to a specific Palisades AYSO U10 team who won their tournament this weekend in Downey. So shout-out to to Mark's Pacific Palace State BYSU 10 team.
Big up, big up.
And Pat, you want to say so? Today, yeah, today is a birthday of one of our boys. Pat, go ahead and take it.
Yeah, yeah. We just want to give a quick shout out to the Rodriguez family, Max, Claudine, and Steve Sr. Thinking about Stevie Boy today. So we wanted to give a shout out and a happy birthday to our boy Stevie. We love you, mate. We miss you. We think about you all the time, and you're forever in our hearts, buddy.
Yeah, it was a very emotional day for me. I've said it in our WhatsApp group already, but he's a big part of my life. He's a big reason why I am today. And I miss his energy, even though I feel like it's with me every time I go to the pub. I just feel like he's about to walk in any moment and say murderers or some bullshit. Who are you, scouts bastards? it was a good show, Patch. Thank you for coming in. Mikey, thank you for putting your 2 cents in, even though you hated on my boys. Now I sound like a little boy again. And Jerm, you know how it is. Jerm, yeah, keeping my calm. Keep it calm. This is show number 3?
I think so.
4? 3? It's casual. Next week, we're going to have Amani on, the president of the L.A. chapter, L.A. supporters group. And people, support Ten Hag. Fight. Get through this media craziness. Support Eric Ten Hag. Use your football sense. Don't get caught up. They're trying to push the man out because you know why? They don't want us to be successful. It's better to see Manchester down in the mud. Thank you for chiming in. Been a good show. Everybody, have a great one. Up the fucking Reds. Peace.
Peace.
You're listening to It's Casual with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.